wrapping up a very bleak Perek Dalet. Ruach HaPenu, says the letter Resh in Pasuk Chaf. Ruach HaPenu Mashiach Hashem. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said in the last Pasuk that Tzidkiyahu and his sons are dragged off. That's the last hope. The last best hope. There's nothing left. The Jewish nation's leader is captured. It's all over. Like Bar Kokhba. Once he's killed, the enterprise falls apart. Bacon's Rebellion in 1676 in Virginia, same thing. Whoever inspired our confidence and was, we thought, our protector has failed to succeed. And all hope is shattered. Now Rashi and most of the Mefarshim say this is not Tzidkiyahu, who never had a chance. It's King Yoshiyahu a few generations before. Not a few generations, the father. There began to be an ingathering of the 10 tribes back into Yehuda, reconquering some of the northern kingdom. We had a chance. But not anymore. Nilkad b'shchiso sam. He was captured in their pits. The last righteous king of Yehuda falls before the arrows of the Egyptian army, saying, Hashem atzadik, I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was devastated by the king's death, and if this whole parak is about Yoshiyahu, you can see it right here, the suffering of righteous people, and how you can't understand Hashem's grand plan. But Tzidkiyahu ended up in a pit, practically buried alive, imprisoned. Asher amarnu b'tzilo nichye b'goyim. And this is the king that we had said we're going to live under his protection, in his shadow, among the nations. So Tzidkiyahu was a very weak ruler, and he fell to the blandishments of his advisors who told him rebel when it was a disaster. Now, that's probably not Ruach HaPenu Mashiach Hashem, but it could just mean Malchus Beis Dovin in general. Rashbam says this pasuk is Gedaliah ben Achikam, the final leader of the Jews of Yerushalayim after the Churban, the namesake of some Gedaliah. The Babylonians allowed a tiny group of poor Jews to inhabit Yerushalayim and to remain. And Gedaliah ben Achikam said, keep peace with Bavel. In the aftermath of the Churban and Golos, we can do it, we can survive. But at the behest of the king of Ammon, because it's always some Arab nation right around us, a Jewish traitor named Yishmael ben Netanya murdered Gedaliah and a number of Jewish and Babylonian allies, and a massacre and bloodbath wiped out what was left of Yerushalayim. Surviving Jews fled to Egypt against Yirmiyahu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's specific instructions, abandoning their homeland. Now, Gedaliah wasn't anointed, but he was the last best hope. And we ourselves assassinated him. And Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis show us the reaction among the Goyim to the downfall of the Jews, to the surprise of none of us who read the news nowadays. Sisi v'simchi v'asedom yosheves b'eretz utz. Rejoice, be glad, daughter of Edom, who lives in the land of Utz. Social media influencer. Bas Edom. Now, it's Bavel that destroys the Beis Medrash, not Edom. But Rashi says that this is Yirmiyahu being misnabe on the second Beis Medrash, being destroyed by Rome, who are called Edom. Sisi, says the Alshich, is the first Beis Medrash, and Simchi, exult and be glad, is the second Beis Medrash. Why? Because Edom hates us with more viciousness than almost any other Jew-hating nation on earth. We'd like to give the prize nowadays to the Muslims, but Edom always takes it much deeper than that. You know, we learn about the depth of Esav's hatred for Yaakov in Sefer Ovadia, who was a convert from Edom, so he knew. This is when a brother hates a brother, constantly rejoicing at his downfall. Esav and Yaakov. Gamalayich ta'avar kos tishkari v'sisari. Upon you also the cup is going to pass. You'll become drunk. And eventually, sisari, it's actually disgusting. You'll vomit it out. You'll throw up. So, Zachar Hashem, Libnei Adom, Yisrael Yerushalayim, and Al Naros Bavel. Omrim Aru, Aru, Ad HaYisodba. Strip her, destroy her till we see the foundations. Edom delights in the calamity that happens to Yaakov Avinu. Every chance they get. And of course, when Edom rises, Yisrael falls, based on Birchus Yitzchak. Uforakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. Yaakov will eventually dominate the elder Esav, since the womb. A tefillah for the fall of Esav is automatically a tefillah for Klal Yisrael to rise again. And Utz is Utz ben Seir, who was an early settler of Edom. But the cup of punishment of Peronios eventually will happen, and you'll drink deeper, and it's toxic. You're going to throw it all up before you die. Chavbeis tam avonech bas tzion. So while bas Edom sisi v'simchi, tam avonech bas tzion, the punishment of your iniquity is complete. Tam is fully fulfilled. Bas tzion. Lo yosif lahag lo seich. A little bit of optimism, even in such a bleak parak. He's not going to send you into Golus anymore. But your iniquity, daughter of Edom, he will punish. He will reveal your sins. You are going to be exposed. So Yirmiyahu also used the metaphor of staggering, falling down drunk, vomiting for global geopolitics. Empires become gluttons, not just in territorial ambition, but hedonistic parties and behavior. Happened in the Roman Empire, happened in the Greek Empire. It seems to be happening, if you look at the internet, to the American Empire, even as we speak. Rapacious appetite. And eventually your cup is full of noxious, intoxicating brews that you are your undoing. You can't help drinking it. So the Yom Charon Apo expiated a lot of averus. The Medrash says even more than the 40 sins in the desert, because at least we got it all out right away with the Korban Beis HaMikdash. But Edom is going to be remembered. Their conduct during the Korban was terribly inappropriate, enjoying the first Korban and perpetrating the second one. So Perek Dalet ends a sustained eyewitness account of the siege and famine in Yerushalayim, suffering of innocents, suffering of Nazirim, Kohanim, Nevi'im, holy people, numbness of dazed survivors in blood and filth, dispassionate in its descriptions. It tells the same story as Perek Beis, but without the shouting at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without the rage of the victims screaming viscerally at God. Terrible suffering of children, spurning of Yerushalayim, mockery of other nations, all of this. As in Perek Beis, now Perek Dalet. So in a way, it's outside in. Aleph, then Beis, then Gimel, then back out to Dalet, paralleling Beis, and Hey, paralleling Aleph. So it's like going up a mountain and then down a mountain, where Beis and Dalet are on a similar level. Now, at least we end with faint hope. The end of Perek Beis was unending suffering. That might be because of Ani HaGever, Perek Gimel, giving us some kind of optimism, slivers of hope. But, again, Eicha can't end here, because the one thing we practically don't mention at all in Perek Dalet is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We're exiled, we're detached, we're distant, we are alienated, we don't call out to Hashem, and we wronged him grievously. So we need Perek Hey, we need to reach out to reestablish communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, the very last pasuk, "V'leinen Eicha Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuva," we haven't said that yet. So Perek Hey still remains for us to reach a progressive stage, and not progressive, capital P, current political theory, but we have to progress. We have to make it through the five stages of grief to the end, to acceptance, to peace, and to connecting back with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we've kind of declined to do here in Perek Dalet. In our numb feeling, we don't reach out quite the way we need to, which we will.